This is Hacker Daily for Friday, May 3rd, and today we're talking about Stripe's $1 million political donation, NPR acquires Pocket Casts, is there a fix for imposter syndrome, Twitter wants you to change your password, AT&T is blocking a new DNS service, and finally, making AI as easy as drag and drop. I'm Dave Zorub.
And I'm Harish Agarwal.
Thanks for tuning in to Hacker Daily, featuring top stories for hackers, founders, and makers. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on your podcast app. So before we get to the stories, just a quick update on Hacker Daily itself. We've been doing the show for a little over 3 weeks. This is our third full week of doing daily episodes. And to tell the truth, we spend a lot of time on every show. Every day we select stories, write some scripts, we do a few takes until we get it right, and then we have to stitch the show together with GarageBand. The experience and the response, honestly, has been totally amazing, but the pace isn't really something that we can keep up right now. Now, don't worry, we're not shelving Hacker Daily, but for the time being, we're going to start running the show a little less frequently so that we can figure out how we can do this sustainably. We're not ruling out that we're ever going to do it daily again, but for now, we just need a little bit of breathing room so we can explore other types of content and do a little bit more commentary on the stories that we think are important and that the community really cares about. So stay tuned.
The New York Times is reporting that Stripe donated $1 million to the California YIMBY organization, its first political donation of any kind. California YIMBY is a housing advocacy organization. It seeks to cut back regulations to increase the housing supply in California, which they and many economists view as crucial to solving the housing crisis in California. YIMBY is a counterpoint to the acronym NIMBY, which stands for Not in My Backyard, a reference to the sentiment many residents of a neighborhood feel when new development is proposed right down the road. In San Francisco, the effects of NIMBYism are particularly extreme. A recent article in CBS Local found that the cheapest home for sale in all of San Francisco, that's the entire city, has a list price of $650,000. So what does $650,000 get you in San Francisco? 600 square feet, and from the looks of it, a place in need of a gut renovation. The California YIMBY organization is, of course, not without its criticism or controversy. The Times reports that the YIMBY movement has been criticized by tenants groups for its connections to the tech industry and accused of being insufficiently worried about the concerns of poorer renters. The tech industry, of course, has a lot at stake in this particular fight, as the cost of housing in California is directly related to their cost structures. Patrick Collison, the CEO of Stripe, commented, "We can sit back and sort of watch this unfold around us and abstain from taking any action or stance because we think there might be some blowback that might be unpleasant for us. But given just how severe the issue is, I really think that would be mistaken."
Here at Hacker Daily, we've got a pretty large number of folks listening on an app called Pocket Casts, which is a podcast player for iOS, Android, and the web, because we happened to show up on their trending lists last week. So this is big news. NPR, WNYC Studios, WBEZ Chicago, and This American Life all joined together to acquire Shifty Jelly, the company behind Pocket Casts. Russell Ivanovich, a co-founder of the company, wrote on their blog that they've had a lot of acquisition interest over the years, but they turned them all down. But this one was different because NPR and the others, quote, "approached us with the goal of partnering for the good of the entire podcast industry," end quote. He writes, "We knew that this opportunity was something else entirely. Everything from their not-for-profit mission focus to their unwavering belief that open and collaborative wins over closed walled gardens resonated deeply with us. Together, we have the passion, scale, and laser focus needed to achieve some truly great things." He goes on to say that, going forward, Pocket Casts will be ambitious in the things we do, and we'll have some amazing insights from the top podcast producers in the world to help guide our future steps. Hacker News user Eigenvector wrote, "I'm so glad to see the team behind Pocket Casts find success. It's one app I've never been disappointed with and supported right from the beginning. The paramount quality of a good app is how easily it gets out of the way and lets you enjoy the content. Pocket Casts has done a spectacular job at that. Others expressed a bit of concern. Crispin B. wrote, "This strikes me as potentially bad news. Pocket Casts is a great little app with the characteristic advantages of being produced by a small indie outfit with no agenda beyond selling a good quality product for cash. I'll keep an open mind, but it's hard to imagine it maintaining its current user focus and content neutrality while under the thumb of content producers." My take, this is certainly big news in the podcasting world. Even though I'm now a podcaster, I got into podcasts pretty late. I did listen to Serial when it came out back in 2014, like lots of other people, but I never really got hooked on other podcasts, even though friends would rave about shows like Crime Town. I blame my lack of a commute. I've been lucky enough to walk to work for years, and my work itself. Writing code, which is what I do most of the time when I'm not hosting this podcast, just isn't the kind of work where I want to have someone kind of talking directly into my ear while I'm coding. So I had to make a conscious effort to make space for podcasts in my life. So the first way I did it was by starting listening when I was exercising. And that proved to be, even though I don't exercise as much as I probably should, a great way to get into shows like Reveal and the New Yorker Radio Hour. And I got really hooked on S-Town. And, you know, from there, I've become a true believer in podcasts, and I find the whole ecosystem totally fascinating. There's been a fair amount of venture capital investment poured into the industry recently. Companies like Anchor and CastBox have raised millions of dollars from top-tier venture funds like Andreessen Horowitz. And lots of people are really trying to figure out where this medium is going to go. There's billions of dollars in advertising on AM/FM radio in the US that's probably going to do something similar to what print advertising did. The dollars are going to shift online somehow. So will podcasts become the next multi-billion dollar media platform? We'll just have to wait and see.
Imposter syndrome is a psychological pattern in which people doubt their accomplishments and have a persistent, often internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. The syndrome persists in the face of success, with sufferers of imposter syndrome often chalking up their success to external factors. Initially, imposter syndrome was thought to disproportionately affect high-achieving women, but more recent studies seem to indicate men and women are equally affected. Elizabeth Churchill, a director of user experience at Google, recently wrote about imposter syndrome for ACM's Interactions magazine. She wrote, "Research indicates that the culture of an organization or institution is a big factor in whether people feel like they belong and can take risks. One's sense of belonging and social standing in a work or social context makes all the difference in how one perceives and judges success and failure, and whether one feels the need to hide and guard against taking a wrong step or failing at a task. A lack of social belonging can reduce the kind of emotional buoyancy that allows one to realistically evaluate and bounce back from failure, actual or perceived." But more interestingly to me, Churchill goes beyond simply diagnosing the factors which go into creating imposter syndrome and suggests some actionable steps to address it. Step 1, treat yourself well. Step 2, create your support group. Seek positive teachers and mentors. Step 3, manage your relationship with and to work. Step 4, understand the natural cycles of knowledge and expertise. And step 5, understand the importance of culture. Churchill feels that this phenomenon is likely to keep growing. Based on the overwhelming response on Hacker News from folks saying they've experienced imposter syndrome, she may be right.
Twitter revealed on Thursday that a bug caused some user passwords to be stored in plain text in an internal logging system. The company wrote in a blog post, "We have fixed the bug, and our investigation shows no indication of breach or misuse by anyone. But out of an abundance of caution, we ask that you consider changing your password on all services where you've used this password." Reuters reports that although the company didn't say how many passwords were affected, a person familiar with the company's response said the number was substantial and that they were exposed for several months. Hacker News commenter Fat Ratchet pointed out that GitHub had a similar bug in their login system recently. Other commenters encouraged all startup founders out there to double-check that they're not storing sensitive information in logs like passwords. So, if you are responsible for logging at your company, now might be a good time to double-check that your setup is secure as well.
Many users on the DSL Reports forum are reporting that AT&T's latest firmware update on its gateway devices blocked the new DNS service from Cloudflare at 1.1.1.1. Cloudflare launched the new consumer DNS service on April 1st, and no, it wasn't a joke, saying that they would be focused on privacy. At the time, Cloudflare said, "What many internet users don't realize is that even if you're visiting a website that is encrypted, other words, it has the little green lock in your browser, that doesn't keep your DNS resolver from knowing the identity of all the sites you visit. That means by default, your ISP, every Wi-Fi network you've connected to, and your mobile network provider have a list of every site you've visited while using them." Given Cloudflare's focus on privacy, the recent firmware update by AT&T looks suspicious. However, many Hacker News commenters are waiting until more information is available before jumping to conclusions. One commenter wrote, "I'd say there is a 98% chance this is a bug in some firmware and a 2% chance AT&T is intentionally trying to block Cloudflare DNS. I get why people are paranoid about ISPs blocking content and net neutrality, but let's not cry wolf prematurely." The technical details here strongly suggest a bug rather than intentional blocking of 1.1.1 DNS traffic. However, Matthew Prince, Cloudflare's CEO, seemed to cast more suspicion on AT&T's motives, tweeting, "Once upon a time, AT&T Cares used to promise they'd enable the future. So disappointing they now appear to be actively locking down the past and breaking internet standards in the process."
A new AI tool called Loeb launched on Product Hunt yesterday. According to the company, Loeb is an easy-to-use visual tool that lets you build custom deep learning models, quickly train them, and ship them directly into your app without writing any code. This was a pretty big deal. The product gathered more than 1,500 upvotes on Product Hunt and over 350 on Hacker News. In response to a question about how the system really works, Marcus Bessinger, one of the founders of Loeb, said in a comment on Product Hunt, quote, "Under the hood, it is a web interface that lets you interact with computation graphs. So you can use existing building blocks like a hand tracker that others have built and shared, or group a bunch of them together to make your own building block to use in creating machine learning applications. A fully modular system to work with high-level concepts all the way down to TensorFlow operations," end quote. HN commenter James McIntyre wrote, "This looks amazing. I love the UX approach to balancing simplicity and complexity. For instance, giving the granular control over the hyperparameters in a visual way with immediate feedback is a whole level above any other design I've seen out there that tries to make deep learning more accessible." You can check it out at loeb.ai or check the show notes for a link. That's all for Hacker Daily today. And as always, we want to make sure that Hacker Daily gets better every show. And we can't do it without your feedback, so please do reach out to us via email at info@hackerdaily.co or follow us on Twitter at Hacker Daily. And as we said before, we're not going to be doing daily shows next week, but we will be back with more updates for hackers, founders, and makers. So thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.